mainly want to be looking at verses 34 down through verse 42, but I think it would be helpful if we go back and just read the first part of the whole chapter. 1 Samuel 20. And David fled from Nahath and Ramah, and came and said unto before Jonathan, What have I done? What is mine iniquity? And what is my sin before thy father, that he seeketh my life? And he said unto him, God forbid, thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will not do nothing, neither great or small, but that he will show it me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so. And David sware moreover and said, Thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, Let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. Then said Jonathan unto David, Whatsoever thy soul desireth, I will even do it for thee. And David said unto Jonathan, Well, behold, the morrow is the new moon. And I shall not fail to sit with the king at meat. But let me go that I may hide myself into the field until the third day at evening. Now notice that he said that I may go hide myself in the field. If thy father at all miss me, then say, David earnestly asked leave of me that he might run to the Bethlehem, his city, for there is a yearly sacrifice there for all the family. And if he say thus, It is well, thy servant shall have peace. But if he be very wroth, then be sure that evil is determined by him. Therefore thou shalt deal kindly with thy servant, for thou hast brought thy servant into a covenant of the Lord with thee. Notwithstanding, if there be in me iniquity, slay me thyself, Jonathan, for why shouldest thou bring me to thy father? And Jonathan said, Far be it from thee, for if I knew certainly that evil were determined by my father to come upon thee, then would not I tell it thee? Then said David to Jonathan, Who shall tell me? Or what if thy father answer thee roughly? And Jonathan said unto David, Come, let us go out into the field. And they went out both of them into the field, alone and together. And Jonathan said to David, O Lord God of Israel, when I have sounded my father about tomorrow any time, or the third day, and behold, if there be good toward David, and I then sin not to thee, and show it thee, the Lord do so and much more to Jonathan. But if it please my father to do the evil, then I will show it thee, and send thee away, that thou mayest go in peace, and the Lord be with thee as he hath been with my father. And thou shalt not only, while I yet live, show me the kindness of the Lord, that I die not, but also thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, Let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies. And Jonathan caused David to swear again, because he loved him. For he loved him as he loved his own soul. Then Jonathan said to David, Tomorrow is the new moon, and thou shalt be missed, because thy seat will be empty. And when thou hast stayed 3 days, then thou shalt go down quickly, and come to the place where thou didst hide thyself, when the business was in hand, and thou shalt remain by the stone Ezel. Don't you see this? This is what the lesson is going to be about today. I just wanted to read you this so you'd understand the context. Jonathan said, You go there and you wait with that stone out in the field. This is between David and Jonathan. No one else knows about it. And I will shoot 3 arrows on the side thereof, as though I shot it at a mark. And behold, I will send a lad, saying, Go find out the arrows. If I expressively say unto the lad, Behold, the arrows are on this side of thee. Take them. Then come thou, David, for there is peace to thee and no hurt, as the Lord liveth. He's saying, I'm going to go out and shoot these arrows. And if they're on this side, well, that means, David, you can just come on back and everything's fine. But, verse 22, if I say thus unto the young man, Behold, the arrows are beyond thee, go thy way, for the Lord hath sent thee away. And as touching the matter which thou and I have spoken, behold, the Lord be between me, between thee and me forever. So David hid himself in the field. You know, we could just pause right there and just think about that. This is David. This is the chosen, anointed king of God out here hiding in a field, running for his life because Saul intends to kill him. So David hid himself in the field. And when the new moon was come, the king sat down to eat meat, and the king sat upon the seat as at other times, even upon a seat by the wall, and Jonathan arose, and Abner sat by Saul's side, and David's place was empty. Nevertheless, Saul spake not anything that day, for he thought, well, something's happened to him. He hath not clean. Surely he is not clean. He's not able to come to this feast. It came to pass on the morrow, which was the second day of the month, that David's place was still empty. And Saul said unto Jonathan his son, wherefore cometh not the son of Jesse to me, neither yesterday nor today? He didn't call him David. He called him the son of Jesse. That's a name of reproach. He said, well, he's nothing and a nobody. Well, where's he at? And Jonathan answered Saul, David earnestly asked leave of me to go to Bethlehem, where he lived. And he said, let me go, I pray thee, for our family hath a sacrifice in the city. And my brother, he hath commanded me to be there. And now if I have found favor in thine eyes, let me get away, I pray thee, and see my brethren. Therefore he cometh not to the king's table. Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan. And he said unto him, thou son of the perverse, rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion, and to the confusion of thy mother's nakedness. For as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established, nor thy kingdom. Wherefore now send and fetch him unto me, for he shall surely die. And Jonathan finds out that his daddy is intended on killing David. And Jonathan answered Saul his father and said unto him, wherefore shall he be slain? What hath he done? And Saul cast a javelin at his own son to smite him, whereby Jonathan knew that it was determined of his father to slay David. So now we come to the last part of this chapter where Jonathan has to go back and tell David the news. David's waiting. And what's the news going to be? Is David going to be able to go back home? He's the king's son-in-law. He's married to Saul's daughter. Is he going to be able to go back to his wife? Is he going to be able to go back to the palace? Or is he even going to be able to go back to his home? This is the question. And this is what Jonathan has to go tell David. And he's going to do it with these arrows. Verse 34. So Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger. He's mad. Why is he mad? He loved David. Sometimes we ask, is it right for us to get upset? I think it is sometimes. Don't you? There is a righteous anger. His father now reveals his hatred, not only for David, but for himself. Why? Because he sided with David. He sided with David. And when a person identifies themselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no middle ground. There is no straddling the fence. Whose side are you on? Either you're on. Elijah said, choose you. He said, how long halt you between two opinions? He can't side with, King Saul can't be right and David both right. One's right and one's wrong. Which one's king? Which one's king now? It's not the one that man has chose to be king, but whom has God chose to be king? And Jonathan said, he loved David as his own soul. And if God has shed abroad his love in your heart, when he regenerated you and quickened you, it bothers you to see someone blaspheme our God. If they could, they would jerk him off the throne. That's exactly right. And Jonathan was filled with wrath, with anger, and did eat no meat the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David, because his father had done him shame. And it came to pass in the morning that Jonathan went out into the field at the time appointed with David, and a little lad goes with him. You get the picture. Now, you need to see this picture. Here Jonathan goes out with this little lad. We don't know how big he is, how old he is. He's just Jonathan's servant. And Jonathan's going to go out and shoot these arrows, and this lad's going to go get these arrows, and he has no idea what's going on. He would just be like Jim. I'm going to pick on him because he likes to shoot his bow. It's like he says, I'm going to go out here and shoot at a distance. I'm going to shoot at this mark, and I've determined where I'm going to shoot at, and all you're going to do is go pick up them arrows for me. And he has no idea what's going on. Why? Because this is between Jonathan and David. This is the picture here. Let me read on. We'll come back and make some comments. And he said unto his lad, run, find out now the arrows which I shoot. And the lad ran. And as the lad ran, he shot an arrow beyond the lad. And when the lad was come to the place of the arrow which Jonathan had shot, Jonathan cried after the lad and said, is not the arrow beyond thee? You remember what that means? What does that mean? David can't come back home. That means that Saul is trying to kill him. That's what this means. And David knows it. Jonathan cried after the lad, make speed, haste, to stay not. And Jonathan's lad gathered up the arrows and came to his master. And the lad knew not anything. Only Jonathan and David knew the matter. And Jonathan gave his arrows unto his lad and said unto him, go carry them to the city. And as soon as the lad was gone, David arose out of a place toward the south, and he fell on his face to the ground and bowed himself three times, and they kissed one another and wept with one another, wept one with another until David exceeded. And Jonathan said to David, go in peace, for as much as we have sworn, both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord be between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed. And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. What is the message in these arrows? These arrows carried a message. Imagine David hiding over here by this stone. Either he will be able to go back home, or he won't. That's the message. He thinks maybe Jonathan might be able to persuade his father to let him come back. He doesn't know. The message was that King Saul hated him, and he cannot go back home. This is a turning point in David's life. And for the next several years, before he's actually brought to the throne, he is chased and hunted by King Saul everywhere he goes, till Saul is eventually killed. God is going to use this wicked king to make his king before he brings him on the throne. Everything, every step that David takes is ordained by Almighty God. No accident. It was no accident that the Lord Jesus Christ was born in a cow stable. It was no accident that Herod, as soon as he was born, tried to kill him. No accident. And God had him hid for almost 30 years. Very little said about his youth, except when he was 12 years old, he went to the temple till he began his ministry. And John said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And even today, it seems like the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that sits upon the throne of David, the rightful king to this whole earth, it seems like he's hid, doesn't it? It seems like he's hid. These arrows revealed the purpose of God for David. God's purpose. David longed to go back home to his wife, back to the palace, and he longed for Jonathan's friendship. You notice he always runs to Jonathan, doesn't he? In John chapter 19, the first thing he went to was Jonathan. And as soon as he left Samuel, where did he go? He went to Jonathan. When you're in trouble, where's the first place you run? It should be your Jonathan. It should be our mediator. These errors meant that David would never be able to go back to the palace so long as Saul lived. This meant that it would be the last time that he would see Jonathan, except he saw him just for a little while before Jonathan was killed. The last time. That's what this meant. And I believe David knew it. This is God's purpose. This is God's plan. And that's what these arrows represented. David is God's anointed king, chosen and set apart from all of his brethren. But it will be a long time before he sits upon the throne. And during that time, he will be hunted, chaste, and despised. Do you not see the picture? Is the Lord Jesus Christ loved in this world? He's hated. He's despised. He's rejected. It's not just when he walked this earth. He's still hated and despised. Why? He's rightful king. Now, they will accept the little Jesus as their personal Savior, but they don't want anything to do with one that's Lord and sovereign over all things. You say, well, it doesn't seem like, to the world's eyes, it doesn't seem like he's reigning. He's still king. He's still king. You know why? God has given us an understanding, and we understand the message of the hours. We understand what this message is. We understand what it means. Why is he rejected? We understand it. These arrows spoke of imminent danger. These arrows are not shot by accident. They were shot on purpose. On purpose. Jonathan knew what it means when he shot those arrows. He knew exactly what he was doing. Jonathan knew, and David knew what it meant. You know why? They had entered into a covenant. Those two. Nobody was around. And before this world was made, God entered into a covenant with his son. And God purposed how his son would be born. He purposed how his son would be treated. And he purposed that his son would sit upon the throne. Why? God purposed it. Purposed it. Just a matter. Now think about this. Just a matter of a few yards would decide David's future. If they were on this side of the land, that meant he could go back home. But if they're beyond him, you can't go back home. These arrows determines David's way to the throne. These arrows taught that human love must be separated. David knew what all this meant. Can you imagine how he felt in his heart? Can you imagine how the Son of God thought when he goes to Jerusalem? He knows exactly how he's going to be treated. He knows how he's going to be despised and be rejected of men. He knows that he will be an outcast, not having any friends, alone, but not alone. God's ways are not our ways. God is emptying David of every prop. Now he must stand alone. Behind him lays the comforts, the friendships. That's what man by nature would want. Can I have any volunteers this morning that would like to be hunted like an animal? Anybody, any takers? Which way would you have chose? We would always choose the easy route. And you know what means such a blessing to the people of God? When we read, especially in the Psalms, when David, it seems like God just allowed David to pour out his heart. Isn't it? The enemies can camp round about me. They hate me without a cause. You know why they hated him? Because all the sin of God's people was laid upon him. He came to be identified with us. I can't wait to get over to that chapter when David's hid in the cave of Adullam. And those people that were poor and distressed, they all went and identified with David. That blesses my heart. You know why? Because he is like me. He's able to be felt with the feelings of my infirmities. Do you ever feel alone? Do you ever feel like you're at a place and you don't know which way God's determining for you to go, and God shoots the arrows and you know exactly what it means? And you know what you must say? Not my will, but thine be done. Behind him lay the comforts of friendship, of human love and home. But here in this I see the message of the gospel. I see in these eras a picture of the gospel. God determined to set his son upon the throne of David. But before he would set him upon that throne, he must suffer and die. You remember when they said one day, they came to Christ and they said, we're going to take you by force and we're going to make you king. He said, oh no, you're not. Oh no, you're not. If he had been born in a palace, if he had been born with a silver spoon in his mouth, and if he had come the way that everybody else said, oh, everybody would have loved him. They said, this can't be the king. He must be an outcast. He was born for this purpose his whole life. He was an outcast, hated by his own people, despised and rejected of men. This is the way God purposed it. If we had been planning this, we'd done it some other way. But God spared not his own son and delivered him up for us all of his people, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. Our great king is now able to be felt with the feelings of our infirmities. David's life had to have been, before he's brought to the throne, a lonely life. You remember what he said one time? He was out one day and he wanted to drink of water from that well at Bethlehem. Wanted it. Remember? Something else he's not able to go worship God. He can't go see Samuel. He can't go to the temple. Remember how he said, I want to go worship God. And David said, I'd love to have a drink of water from that well at Bethlehem. And you know what? Three of his men risked their life and went and got that water. Remember that story? That's our David. That's our David. Say, well, he don't look like king. I don't care how he looks. He's king. I don't care how it looks to the world. He's king. He's king. And Jonathan knew he'd be king. That's why Jonathan said, when you come to the throne, would you so show mercy to my household? And you know why God shows mercy to you? For Jonathan's sake, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. That's the only reason. Because of the covenant that was made. It's not because of any goodness in you, Connie. There's none there. But I want us to notice the last part, verse 39, where it said, the lad knew not anything. Only Jonathan and David knew the matter. Had anyone asked the lad that day what Jonathan was doing in the field, he would just have replied, well, Jonathan's just out there shooting for amusement. And I'm just out here picking up his arrows. The lad was totally ignorant of what was going on. Totally. There was something of great importance here. It was a matter of life and death for David, and the lad knew nothing about it. The love of Jonathan for David directed those arrows. They did not fly haphazardly. The arrows would determine the safety or the danger of David's life. David, under instruction for Jonathan, was to wait by that stone. You wait right there till you hear the news. And this lad has no idea what's going on. Do you see where I'm going? Most people have no idea of what I'm talking about this morning. They're totally ignorant to what's going on. This was a secret between Jonathan and David on which his life depended. The life of our immortal souls depend upon him. Psalms 25:14, listen. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. You know what God does? He lets us in on his secrets. Do you understand what this book means? Do you understand the message of this book? This book, if you ever find the key, it's like if you ever want to get into a house, you better have the key to unlock the door or you won't get in. And without the key, you cannot understand this book. And the key to this book is understanding who Jesus Christ is and understanding that everything in this book is about him. That's the key. That's the key. This is the message. Our souls are safe in his everlasting love. His grace will never forsake them. Our salvation is sure. Psalms 91:5, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrows that fly by day. It doesn't matter what's happening. He's in control. Don't you wish we could learn that? Don't you? Well, I wished I could. Well, we can all quote Romans 8:28, but how many of us believe it? Isn't that right? Well, we believe it on Sunday. Wait till about Sunday evening. When you're standing there and don't know which way to go. The heirs were either beside, behind, or beyond the lad. The lad did not understand the declaration of God's everlasting love, and they don't receive them by faith. They do not understand. As the lad picked up the arrows but knew not the matter, so do religious people pick up God's word but have no understanding about what it means. They have no understanding. Say, well, I don't understand that. I can understand that. I can understand that. I can understand why people say things they do on the radio or TV. I can understand that. You know why? They don't understand. They don't understand. They are totally strangers to what's going on. Strangers. Stranger. This is between our Lord and his Davids. This world has no idea what's going on. They know not the matter. Now listen, our great God makes men like this lad the unconscious instruments that he uses to work out his own counsel. He uses them to accomplish his purpose. You know who that lad was? He was Jonathan's servant. Me and Sandy was talking about this yesterday. Just think about this. Even Satan is God's servant. Isn't that right? He's God's bulldog, and he's on the chain. He can only do what God lets him do. Listen to this. Peter standing and preaching on the day of Pentecost, these people had no idea. They did not understand the message of the gospel. He said, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. He didn't do those things in a corner. You know who I'm talking about. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. God determined it to happen. God determined it, his determinate counsel, his foreknowledge. He foreordained all that to come to pass. You have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. They were unconscious of what they were doing, and they was fulfilling God's purpose and God's plan. And they were responsible for everything they did. If Satan knew what he was doing, He thought, man, I've got him exactly where I want him. I've incited this whole mob and they're going to kill him. Boy, this is what I want. But in doing that, he destroyed his own kingdom. He had no idea what was going on. Do you see the picture? Does it make any sense? Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding to it. They crucified the Lord of glory. They did exactly what they wanted to do, and in the own time, and they were unaware of what was going on. They thought, that's just a man. He's getting exactly what he deserved. And that's what even what both of the thieves on both sides of him first began to say. They both began to rail on him till God opened one's eyes. And you know what? Then that man understood what was going on. One man understood the matter. One man didn't. This lad had no idea. But David and Jonathan knew. These errors have to do with one thing, and that's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the purpose. It all has to do with the King. It all has a message surrounding the King. Jonathan knew who David was, and he knew that one day he would sit upon the throne. If God gives you faith, you know who He is. And you know that one day, no matter how it looks upon this earth, one day, every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He came riding into Jerusalem on a little humble donkey the first time. But the next time He comes, He's not riding on a little humble donkey. He's riding on the horse, white horse. You think that's a little? I don't think it's a little horse, but He's going to come riding as King. He had on His vesture, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Every knee is going to bow. You know what? We know that. We understand the message. I don't care how it looks. He's God. He's Lord. He's King. We understand the message of the eras. That's the message. David spared Mephibosheth for the sake of Jonathan. Remember our Lord when He hung up on the cross? You know what He said? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And we, everyone, had a hand in it. We were everyone just like that lad. Going out, picking up God's Word. Picking it up, reading it, but had no idea what it meant. Ignorant to it. Listen. Matthew 11:25. Our Lord had been out doing a lot of miracles. Miracles. Raising people from the dead. Healing the sick. And at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hath revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in Thy sight. All things are delivered unto me and my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. That lad, we don't know how close he came to David and never even knew where David was at. He be not far from all of us. And we have no idea until God opens up your understanding and gives you a revelation of who He is. And until then, you will not understand. But when He does, you'll understand. John 15:13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I have commanded you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. And the lad knew not anything, only Jonathan and David knew the matter.